Join me once again in the book of Judges. Today we come to a familiar character. You've probably heard many, many stories through Sunday school of the great Samson. Chapter 13 of the book of Judges. Judges 13. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are sterile and childless, but you're going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth. And he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born.' God heard Manoah. And the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman hurried to tell her husband, 'He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day.' Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, 'Are you the one who talked to my wife?' 'I am,' he said. So Manoah asked him, 'When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work?' The angel of the Lord answered, 'Your wife must do all that I've told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, or drink any wine or other fermented drink, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I have commanded her.' Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you.' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that we may honor you when your words come true?' He replied, 'Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding.' Or some of you may have wonderful there for his name. Then Manoah took a young goat, took together with the grain offering, and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar toward heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. 'We are doomed to die,' he said to his wife. 'We have seen God.' But his wife answered, 'If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all the things, or now told us this.' The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan, between Zorah and Eshtaol." We'll hold our reading there for a moment. As we've studied the book of Judges, I have to be honest with you, when I came into this book, I did not really understand what God would have for us in the book. But as I have gone through this, I have discovered, and I hope you have as well, some great theological teachings of God. We have talked about the mystery of God. We have talked about His long suffering. We've talked about His persistence. We've talked about the love of God, and we've talked about the justice of God. And behind all of these scenes we've had with these judges, we have found some of the great theological tenets, some great theological characteristics of God. Now, in these stories of Samson, it would be easy to get caught up in all the action, especially here when we go into chapter 14. It would be easy to get caught up in all the action at first and not see God working in and amongst all the things going on here. But God is working. And God is working here in the life of Samson. And in this story, we will see another characteristic of God. It's a term you've heard before, but we don't use it often. It is called the providence of God. What is the providence of God? Our confession defines it this way. God, the great creator of all things, does uphold, direct, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least. By His most wise and holy providence, according to His unfailing foreknowledge, and according to His unchangeable will. Basically, providence means God's in charge. But we have to understand that God's in charge to the furthest degree. Providence means, just as it says here, God, the creator of all things, does uphold, direct, and govern some creatures, only Christians. Well, those He likes, only those He calls. No. It says all creatures. So here in the providence of God, we see Him controlling, directing everything within His creation to one objective, the fullness and the completion of His will. That's what we mean by providence. Here within the story of Samson, we see these marvelous, sometimes unbelievable events, but we see God using the people of His creation for the outcome of His will. Right from the very beginning, we see God at work in this story of Samson. An angel of the Lord came to Manoah and his wife, and they told of Samson's birth, but not just the birth of a child, the birth of a child to fulfill an objective. And it was that Samson will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. This is God's providential work from the very outset of the story of Samson. Please do not lose that. As we get over and find out Samson killing all these people with the jawbone of a donkey. Fascinating story. But underlying is God's providential work. Now, I want to go one step further and getting a little theological here, but I will try to explain it so everybody keeps up. The ordering of these earthly things to bring about His will is called the use of secondary causes. If you've been to our confession classes, this usually gets a great deal of discussion. The use of secondary causes. Let me explain. God's desire to have something come to pass is the first cause. Because God is omnipotent, all-powerful. If He thinks it, if He desires it, it is. He's the first cause. He's the prime mover. He's the prime initiator. But He has allowed and has decreed that earthly creation be involved in the completion or in the fulfillment of that will. Those are the secondary causes. Let me give you an example. We've just had a perfect one. It was God's desire to answer Miss Bernice's prayers as she prayed for her house to be repaired after the storm. God desired her house to be repaired. That was the first cause. That's the prime mover. That's the prime initiator. God desires it. It will come to pass. But what was the secondary cause God used to fulfill His will? You. You. He sent us to Biloxi several times to build her house. Then He used you and your generosity to bring the furniture together that we could take her just a little over a month ago. That taking her furniture, that going down and building the house, all of that we would term secondary causes. And it is what God uses to fulfill His will. In the birth of Samson, please note, God did not wait for the Israelites to cry out for help. Please note that. His plan was already in action. His plan was already in motion. He sent an angel of the Lord to call a servant into action, not according to the desires of the people. The people didn't cry out and say, "Oh Lord, help us." No, He already had a plan in place. And it was that His will be fulfilled. Now, we're going to talk about the providence of God here just a little bit more, but I want to take a sidebar here because it's hard to pass up. Parents, all of you who have children, or all of you who think you have children in your future, please note closely the actions of Samson's parents in this story. On several occasions, Manoah and his wife seek God's guidance as they learn of their coming child. Their desire is to understand God's will for their child as much as possible. Now, we typically don't have the wonderful blessing of having an angel come to us and say, "You're going to have a child." That would be a treat. But we can do as Manoah and his wife did here. Please notice how diligently the parents were to discover what must be done in raising young Samson according to the will of God. Look at verse 8. He says, "Oh Lord, I beg you." This is Manoah praying. How many times have we seen a man of faith in these stories of the judges? Not very. Here's one. Manoah says, "Oh Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again." For what reason? To teach us. To teach us how we are to bring up this boy who is to be born. I know many of you, if not all of you, have prayed the same prayer. As your children, as you have become pregnant, as you have learned of the coming child, as your child grows, you pray, "Oh Lord, help me here. Do what is right in the raising of this child." Every one of you have uttered one form or phrase or fashion of that. But again, Manoah did it. In verse 12, he says, "What is to be the rule of this boy's life and work?" Now, this is going further. He didn't pray for help. He didn't pray for safety. He prayed that he would discover what would be the rule for this boy so he would become what God desired. That goes a little further than most of our common prayers. "God, what is your will for my son? What can I do to teach him or her so that she or he will be prepared to fulfill your will?" How different than today's popular child-rearing ways. Today there are those who will say that we are not to teach our children. We are not to force our ideas. We are not to force our rule on our children. Most despairing, discouraging thing I heard is when my nephew told me, "I will have children, I will raise them and teach them all this, but it's up to them to decide what they want to do." There is nothing biblical about that. Instead, we are to follow Manoah's example here. Manoah's desire is covenantal. It is the covenant being exhibited in a man of faith. His desire was to learn from God what he is to teach his son. Today's world encourages just the opposite. Don't teach them. Let them live, grow up to their own desires. Today's popular ways of teaching and lack of discipline is another of Satan's ploys that is destroying our children. Did you hear on the news this week of the individual, I think it was in Massachusetts, who wants a law established that would make it illegal to spank your children in your home? I believe in spankings. That's your call. I would probably encourage some of you in that way. But in this passage, above all, we see the wonderful providence of God truly at work. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him while he was in Mahanadan. So even at a young age, are our children too young to teach? Are our children too young to discipline? Is it too young for me to say, Lord, how would you teach? How would you have me teach my grandsons? No, day one. Day one, we teach them who the Lord is. Day one, we teach them who Jesus Christ is. When we baptize children up here, we have a wonderful baptism coming up in 2 weeks. When we baptize a child up here, I'll ask the parents, will you teach them about Christ? That's covenant. That's teaching them who God is and raising them up in a home. Many of you have the beautiful gift of saying, I don't think I ever knew a day that I didn't know of Jesus Christ. How beautiful that you can confess that. Even at early age, God is stirring in the life of young Samson. Well, let's see how he matures. Look at chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for the bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us the riddle, they said. Let us hear it. And he replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, you hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, he replies, so why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at his wedding. Not a good day. Samson doesn't seem to portray one who has been raised in the discipline of which Manoah and his wife prayed for. As a parent, it's one thing to speak of a good ambition to raise your kids right. It's quite another to do it. It doesn't look as though Samson has taken serious his Nazarite upbringing. We see him in a vineyard. He's not supposed to have anything from the vine. We see him eating honey from the carcass of a dead lion. He's not supposed to touch anything unclean of which the dead lion would be. It would be nice here if we would see something of the fruit of Manoah and his wife in the raising of young Samson. But it seems to be absent. But please know, God is at work. What we do see here is a series of events we will term secondary causes, of which we spoke of earlier. Samson goes down to Timnah. He lustfully is attracted to a Palestine woman. He gets into this riddling debate with the men of Timnah. And he finds that his wife, who he refers to as a heifer, is not trustworthy. Which, if you know the story of Samson, is a sign of things to come. And all of this causes Samson to become angry, and he goes to Ashkelon. He kills and strips 30 men of Philistine in order to pay his gambling debts. Now, again, we could get all lost and tied up into those stories. But, as strange as all of this seems, all of this is within the ordained will of God. For the express purpose of fulfilling his providential desire, which we learn of in chapter 14, verse 4. The parenthetical statement of verse 4, he says, his parents did not know that this, all of this that we're talking about, that this was from the Lord who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. God raised Samson up to be an instrument of his judgment against the Philistines. Here we see the sovereign God using sinful man to be an instrument in his perfect will. Samson is just like you and I. Samson was a sinner. We are sinners, but being a redeemed sinner, even in our disobedience, even in our faulty actions, God chooses to use us. He desires for us, His creation, to be involved in His work, probably and most times before we ever know we're involved. This is certainly a mystery of God that we cannot fully explain or understand, but it is the providence of God. God does not depend on us for success. He needs nothing from us, but as I said, He has allowed us to be involved. Once again, in the confession, it says that in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, which is the first cause, all things come to pass immutably and infallibly according to the will of God. Immutably and infallibly there means without change and without error. That should challenge our understanding. Think of all the things going on in the world right now. All the horrible things going on right now. And God's aware. And God has ordained. And according to His providential will, all of those things will, in time, come to pass to fulfill His will. It was wrong for Samson to go to Timnah and marry a woman there. But God allowed it because He was going to use it. What was God's desire in raising up Samson in this passage? We learn it was singular in focus to bring judgment to the Philistines. That was the reason for Samson's life. Question for us. Do we know our purpose within the providence and within the sovereign will of God? Do we know? Do we know how we are being used to fulfill God's desires? Amen. Amen.